Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here with just...
Tom McGregor.
Yeah, it's weird. We're on spring break this week and next week, and we thought it would be a good idea to take a break from the Counterpoint series and do what is, by all accounts, a shameless plug for something. But it's something that we really think needs to be plugged. It's something that we think you need to be involved in. McGregor, what are we talking about?
We are plugging generosity groups.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Now, these are kind of your bread and butter as the discipleship lead. How does discipleship work at Imprint Church, I guess?
So generosity groups are our primary strategy for discipleship, which would surprise most folks going to most churches.
Yeah.
Usually the primary strategy is what happens on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's youth ministry, it's outreach, it's a lot of other things. But at Imprint, our primary strategy for discipleship is generosity groups.
Hmm.
And that's because the way we define discipleship is maybe a little bit different, or maybe informs, maybe we share the same definition as all those other churches I mentioned. But we have thought thoughtfully about it and decided that generosity groups are the place where that is most likely to occur in a meaningful way.
Gotcha. Okay. So when we talk about discipleship, we have like a whole podcast on defining mm-hmm. discipleship, but can you give us like a working definition to go off of just so for the next few minutes that we talk about this, people can know what we're talking about?
Yeah. So disciple is the primary word in the Gospels and the primary concept in the New Testament that the Bible uses to describe somebody that has been brought into a saving relationship with Jesus. So if you are in relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a disciple. And a disciple is somebody who knows, loves, likes, follows Jesus. That's the relationship part of it, but it also is committed to being transformed by him.
Hmm.
So all sorts of fancy words that go along that with that, like sanctification and whatnot. But basically you are not only going from death, spiritual death to spiritual life, but also you're learning to become the new kind of human that Jesus was and is and promises to make us. So there's relationship, transformation, and then there's mission. If you're a disciple, you're also committed to being a part of Jesus's mission to reconcile all things to himself, and in the process bring glory to God. And so that means inviting new people who don't know Jesus into the family of God, and helping them to know and obey everything that he's taught.
Gotcha.
So relationship, transformation, and mission. And discipleship is the word that talks about the process of doing that.
Gotcha. Okay.
So how does somebody get to know Jesus, become his disciple, become transformed by him, and join him in his rescue mission to our world?
Gotcha. So I guess we'll start from an ideal situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like
in an ideal situation, how does a generosity group at Imprint Church help someone along in their discipleship? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think because discipleship is about a whole person, it necessarily includes all of life.
Okay.
And so you...
So it's not just like... It is like memorizing Bible verses and
knowing
stuff like that, but it's not just that.
Right? Yeah, yeah. If you're going to be transformed by Jesus, you're going to have to know what he's transforming you into. So you should probably know a little bit about that. And he says stuff about that in the Bible. If you're going to join him in his mission, you should probably know what that is. And again, the Bible has quite a lot to say mm-hmm. about God's mission. So Bible verse memorization is great. The typical model for discipleship proper is that one-on-one meeting, an hour a week, every week, over coffee with some sort of curriculum.
Yeah, something open in front of you, yeah. And homework and all that.
That's
and,
good. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. And for certain stages of spiritual growth, that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, discipleship is an all-of-life thing. We're learning to not just know the right things, but to be a very specific type of human being. And so that means that we learn a lot by reading, but also quite a bit by catching it, by mm-hmm. it being modeled, and being in an ambient environment where that kind of human being is on display in little interactions that include, you know, the interruption of a baby spitting up in the middle of a discussion on Romans or
that's real close to home right now, just so you know.
Yeah, there you go. Like, I mean, probably for the majority of Bothell, right?
Yeah.
It's the dinner not turning out the way you had hoped and the house not being quite as clean as you would like it to be, and group happening anyway. It's group happening over Zoom and everybody having to deal with it together and doing that in a way that that glorifies God. That turns to him with our lament over Zoom, that's integrated, you know, rather than disintegrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in an ideal generosity group, you would have those interruptions, mm-hmm. you would have that burnt dinner, you would have that messy house, as well as, you know, clean house, you know, sometimes it all does come together. But actually the non-ideal setting produces an ideal setting. But there is an ideal setting, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's and it has less to do with the quality of the meal or the cleanliness of the house,
mm-hmm.
And more to do with for me anyway, kind of an Acts 2 thing where you see this new community coming together. They're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They're meeting regularly, like day to day, in each other's homes mm-hmm. for hospitality, which is not entertaining.
No.
Entertaining is impressing your friends with your great collection of cookbooks and your culinary skills and, you know, et cetera. Hospitality is treating a stranger like a family member, inviting them into the life that God has given you in mm-hmm. the place he's put you. So they're meeting day to day. We're only asking for like once a week.
Yeah.
They're praying with one another. And most certainly, like, this is, at least in Acts 2, this is an interesting time to be praying with one another. There's a lot going on. And so it's not just the extraordinary, but there is also the mundane of, like, you know, I've visited Jerusalem from, I don't know, Southwest Turkey, and I'm a long way from home, and I've now come to believe that Jesus is this long awaited Messiah. Mm-hmm. And like, what am I going to do when I go back home?
Yeah.
You know, to my job, my employment situation, there's a lot of parallels actually to our current experience of mission, employment, and the daily stuff of life,
mm-hmm.
Through prayer. There's most certainly some generosity happening internally. People are selling their houses to make sure everybody's cared for. But also in Acts 6, we see that generosity extends out.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity for knowing one another and our needs, as well as just providing for the needs of the community at large. And then there's the mission. Like, they just can't stop talking about this Jesus guy.
Yeah.
And more people are being added to this new community. And so in a generosity group, the way that works out is that, we structure it. There's some things that we organize and some things that we hope for mm-hmm. To become organic. But there's a structure of a regular meeting to discuss the Bible, the apostles' teachings, as well as the Hebrew Bible that they're basically drawing from. There's a commitment to pray with one another, for the mundane. I sprained my ankle, or mm-hmm. little Timmy has an SAT test like next week or whatever. pray with one another and pray for the neighborhood that you're in, which requires knowing one another.
Yeah.
And so we hope that these organized aspects spill out into everyday life, where I was just meeting with Jonathan Whiting and some of his friends, as well as guys in his generosity group, get together to they've got some extra biblical material that they're listening to,
mm-hmm.
and then they check it by actually reading their Bible together
discussing,
mm-hmm. Which is really cool. Like, you should read your Bible in community. Reading mm-hmm. your Bible alone leads to all sorts of interesting.
It definitely can, can't it? Yeah.
So that's an organic thing. I didn't organize that in any way, nor should I.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't actually be as effective as it could be if they weren't kind of metaphorically, I think they do it by Discord at this point. But, yeah. They're metaphorically meeting in one another's homes to discuss the scriptures and to pray for one another. And then that feeds back into the generosity group. So depth of relationship,
mm-hmm.
That's not merely intellectual or doctrinally based, but it's the whole life of the members of the group. And then sharing meals, sharing resources. We have generosity groups that care for the members when there's hard times. Mm-hmm. And then also really in a cool way, invite the church community at large to participate in that by subsidizing what they're able to put together, and kind of meet the difference through Imprint Cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the mission. So not just serving our community, but serving our community in Jesus's name.
Yeah.
Knowing that the gospel always requires proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's proclamation without demonstration, it often rings hollow.
Yeah. Or if it's demonstration without proclamation, it's not really fulfilling.
Well, yeah.
The ultimate mission.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, which is, demonstration without proclamation is actually a good in and of itself.
It is. Yeah. It definitely is.
But we don't want to confuse demonstration with evangelism.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing.
So that's kind of the ideal.
What are some things that get in the way of that ideal, you think? Just speaking from things you've been here a little over a year now. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to tattletale on anything.
No.
just looking at our church, I know you've been here in a weird time where a lot has been over Zoom. What are some things that you've seen that cause the ideal to not be achieved?
So initially, the biggest thing I noticed when I came to Imprint is how poor we are.
Hmm.
I say that by contrast with Portland. In Portland, where I'm coming from, people are disgustingly wealthy.
Hmm.
But at Imprint, we're just kind of bottom of the barrel poor.
I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
When it comes to time.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
I've rarely met a community that is so impoverished for time.
Hmm.
And because of that, we have a scarcity mindset. There's not enough to go around. And so my work, my family, my kids, get my time. And if I have anything left over, then I will spend it on others.
Mm.
And of course, I'm speaking very generally.
Of course,
this is,
yeah.
But in general, this is a little bit of the ambient temperature at Imprint, or maybe more broadly, the East Side.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's significant. If you perceive a lack of time, it's a finite resource, and you do have responsibilities. What are you going to do? Quit your job so you can join a generosity group? However, I think it operates out of that scarcity mindset, which prevents us from, and from a Western idea of the disintegrated life, everything is compartmentalized. And what happens at school is my school stuff. What happens at work,
is
what
your
happens
work
at the gym, blah, 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 blah. Whereas the life of a disciple is an integrated life. And so mission happens on the soccer field. Mission happens in the boardroom. Mission happens at my Zumba class or whatever like new thing is the rage at
but
the gym.
But without that margin comes that fragmentation is what you're saying.
About. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you switch your mindset from scarcity to abundance, that actually in God's kingdom, there's more time than we could ever possibly understand. and if there's a lot of it, then our mission is not to sequester things and hoard, but it's to integrate and give away. And so one of the ways that we're generous is by giving our time to others. Mm. And we can do that as a family. You know, what do you do with your Sunday night? You know, is it another day off for Netflix and like hang out with the spouse, or is it an intentional time where we are going to give ourselves away to allow people into our lives and the things that are good and the things that are hard and the things that are confusing and you know, that sort of stuff. So I think time is one of the biggest barriers, and my encouragement to you is to reintegrate your life and think about how much time you actually have, and which brings up the second barrier, and that's priorities. Mm. How many extracurricular sports do children need to be involved in? How many hobbies do you need, and will they actually fulfill you? Are they avenues for mission, or are they avenues of escape? Mm. If your children need to play every single sport every single season, why? Why do they need to do that? What is the motivating factor behind your decision to schedule the majority of your free time?
Yeah.
And you know, that requires wisdom.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you can't just say, well, you should only do one sport a season. Yeah. Who am I? Like, I'm not going to tell you that, but like use wisdom and check your motivations. Mm. And then kind of a third barrier that I think is maybe less spoken and more felt is that generosity groups are hard and often weird.
Oh yeah. Well, so I think that community in general is hard and often weird.
Yeah, relationships are hard.
Relationships are hard and often weird.
Yeah.
So being part of a community with the express purpose of you know, proclaiming the name of Jesus, which is weird on its own. And being around people who are, for various reasons, don't do that perfectly or the way that you think that they mm-hmm. should is a very uncomfortable thing.
Well, and then also, like, think about the transformation piece. Mm. Jesus is transforming you, which means you are a work in progress, which means you're not perfect, mm-hmm. which means that there's some rather embarrassing things that you might have to let somebody in on. And not everybody's like a skillful listener. A lot of people have a lot of advice. Well, a lot of people like are uncomfortable with hard things or uncomfortable things or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, they'll be like, well, at least, or it could be, you know, it could be worse, or like, I'm sure God's just teaching you so much through this and kind of offering empty platitudes. And that doesn't feel good when the pain or the struggle
is very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So a lot of people have had bad experiences with community groups, small groups, missional communities, whatever you call them, and so that's why they're scheduled in a way that they don't have to be involved. Hmm. And I think it's pretty understandable. I've had some pretty weird experiences in small groups.
Yeah, well, I think like you were saying earlier, anytime you have a relationship with someone, if any kind of vulnerability there, it's called vulnerability for a reason. Like you're opening yourself up to be burned a bit. But that's part of it. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. It actually matures us. Unfortunately, sometimes it matures us into a place that we could have used prior to the maturing event.
Yes.
But that's why it actually has an effect. Mm-hmm. But it requires a lot of grace and patience and humility to be a part of a generosity group.
Hmm. Well, what would you say to someone, and I know like a lot of this is already going to fill in these blanks. What would you say someone in our church is missing by not being part of a generosity group?
Yeah, this is my theological conviction, is they're missing out on Jesus.
Mm.
I think that committing to the body of Christ requires more than just a Sunday attendance. And so if you're not in a generosity group and your primary interaction with the church community happens on Sunday, you're missing out on an interaction with the Lord.
Yeah.
You're missing out on seeing his body at work. You're missing out on being a part of what he's doing. And maybe you're like, man, I've been in church for my whole life. I'm pretty mature and I know all that stuff. I've, you know, read the Bible 20,000 times or whatever, and I'm not going to learn anything new there. Maybe. I'd be surprised if that amount of Bible intake had produced that amount of arrogance.
I was thinking that,
but maybe,
yeah.
You know, but maybe somebody needs your input.
Yeah. I would also say, that, you know, per what we were talking about a minute ago, I think a blind spot is called a blind spot because you can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
So having the vulnerability and the humility to step forward and say, even saying like, hey, I've read the Bible a whole lot and opening up with that, but stepping into something where someone could say, hey, did you think about it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, have you thought of it this way? Or, hey, it's kind of a prideful thing to say, I'm not going to learn anything. You know, having someone, opening yourself up to that kind of criticism is a huge part of discipleship, because a blind spot isn't just going to go away. Mm-hmm. We can ignore it and stay comfortable, or we can deal with it and grow closer to Jesus. So
yeah. So there's that aspect. Mm-hmm. But then there's the flip side of like kind of the more, I don't want people to see me in my brokenness.
Mm.
I don't want to like expose my ignorance. I've only read the Bible never, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's also like, I understand all of the, like the objections, and to some extent they're legitimate fears. Mm-hmm. Like I'm afraid of being exposed. I think that there is a genuine risk that you go to a generosity group and it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is that all of our leaders are equipped with the skills, to help you grow. And so you're going to have at very least two people that have some maturity and grace and humility and some of the skills necessary to kind of navigate a conversation with a group, so that you're not getting punched in the gut when you're exposing yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if you are afraid, one, I'd just encourage you, like in God's community and God's family, we're no longer known primarily by the worst things we've mm-hmm. ever done or the best things we always avoid.
Yeah.
We're not known by our sin. We're known by our association with Jesus. And so, that's the ideal, is that we relate to one another based off of who he is rather than, our failures. So those are kind of the two, kind of
things that people miss.
Yeah. Or, I think yeah. It, what you're really missing is connecting with Jesus and intimacy.
Mm.
And that's intimacy with the Lord, but also intimacy with other people. There's something really healing about grace when you deserve, you know, rebuke, or you deserve punishment and you're welcomed in as a member of the family instead. That can be really healing and it can be transforming. So you miss out on that transformation process. You also miss out on the mission process of seeing people come to life. So we want to see people that don't know Jesus invited into his family, invited into generosity groups where they can see his people on display, or his character on display through his people.
Mm.
So you miss out on the opportunity to be a part of that. You also miss out on the opportunity of helping people grow. And we kind of think in terms of mutual discipleship.
Yeah.
There's not like the sage on the stage, like spouting out happy little maxims that will change your life. But there's this this collective discipleship to Jesus, where each of us has some wisdom that we've picked up along the way, or some insight or some perspective. And that diversity actually has a powerful way of helping grow disciples. And so you get to be a part of that mission by being a part of a generosity group.
If somebody is unsure of where to get started as far as joining a generosity group, as far as looking for one, what advice do you have? I mean, I, other than just go to the website, what advice do you have for someone who's really thinking about, okay, I hear what you're saying. I see maybe a lack of intimacy with others in my life, or I see a lack of you know, putting myself out there in order to be corrected or rebuked or even encouraged. How should someone think about joining a group? What posture should they take, and what steps should they take?
Yeah, I think one thing I probably should have mentioned earlier is a lot of people have everything I just described in another group. Mm-hmm. A lot of you have been in this area for a long time and have developed really beautiful relationships. And so the encouragement to be a part of a generosity group is more an encouragement to be a part of the strategy of Imprint Church. Mm. You may not lack what was just described in your life, but to join the church in our stated mission, really, we kind of need you. But if you're a part of that camp, or if you're a part of any other kind of demographic, and you're like, yeah, I think I should probably join, I would think in terms of proximity and schedule. And that's just because it's practical.
Yeah.
We are not going to be in COVID land forever. Mm. And hopefully Zoom will be a distant memory in the coming years.
I hope so.
But at some point, like, and some groups are already doing this. We're in phase three. And so, you know, you can have more people at your house. I think 10 non-household members inside, up to 400 outside. Don't worry. None of our generosity groups are that big. So hopefully we'll have more people meeting together. And by proximity, if like generosity group is on Tuesday night at 6:30 and you've had a long day and, you know, go down the list, you're going to be way more likely to attend if your generosity group meets 10 minutes away from you than if it's a 30, 45 minute drive. So think in terms of proximity, and all of the groups on the website say where they used to meet in person, you know, Cedar Park or whatever. And then think in terms of time. If you have a standing commitment that every Friday night is date night, don't pick the one that's closest to you because it's on Friday night, unless you're willing to move your schedule around, you know, so Thursday nights are date night or Saturday nights are date night, whatever. You know, if you know that, you know, for 3 or 6 or 9 months out of the year, the sports schedule that you've committed to happens on, I don't know, whatever night of the week it is, don't schedule something for that when it's going to be broken up every other week. Look for something that actually works and that you can make that your commitment. Because generosity groups only make sense and only work when there's a commitment. Mm-hmm. If you're like, well, I'm going to sign up and I'll be there when I can, you're not really a part of the generosity group.
No.
You're kind of like, you know, visiting. But pick something close, pick something that works with your schedule, and then make a commitment. And make a commitment for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last summer, and it sounds like the rhythm around here is usually summers are hard to get a whole lot of traction. People are going on vacations, school schedule changes. And so usually generosity groups kind of have a modified schedule in the summer. So maybe what you want to do is say, hey, I'm going to commit for the next 3 months, you know, through the end of the school year. I'm going to show up every single time and I'm going to pray about it every single week and I'm going to see what God does.
Yeah.
Great. Maybe what you want to do is commit through the end of summer. Fall is a great time if, you know, sometimes like it doesn't work out and that's okay. Either it's schedule or just personality. Like some groups don't fit. Make a commitment through the end of summer and do the same thing. Pray a lot about it. See what God does. But make a commitment and pray about it. See what God does. Gotcha. And then, you know, you can check out the website for the practicals of who's meeting when. The
specifics of who's where and all that kind of stuff. So
you could also shoot me an email, you know, let me know kind of what some of the hurdles have been in the past and I'll see what we can do. We'll have a conversation.
Gotcha. So what about someone who's listening to this, who either is part of a group right now or has been part of a group in the past, and they're thinking like, man, this is awesome, and I'm looking at the map, and there's not really anything close to me, but I want there to be.
Yeah.
What steps should they take here? What should they do with that desire?
Shoot me an email immediately.
Before you change your mind.
Yeah. Just shoot me an email. You know, we just had a generosity group training a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And so there's new leaders in the pipeline. Maybe there's something that's going to be coming up sometime soon. And it's just not up because we don't have everything in place and it's near you. Great. Or maybe like you're somewhere that we'd like to put a group and we don't have a leader yet. And we just, you know. Yeah. Want to add your name to the list, especially if you're in Everett, let me know. Like, I'd love to start a group up in Everett.
Cool. Gotcha. Well, McGregor, anything else that you want to add about generosity groups, about, your hope for them, about, their importance or, anything else that's going on in your head basically?
You know, I think like, the biggest thing for me is I'm just thinking about what God's plan is for us. And that's that we are being conformed to the image of his son. He's turning us into a bunch of little Jesuses. And that's a painful and an exciting process. And we think that generosity groups are one of the best strategies we have available for organizing a part of that process. You know, we're not going to like make it happen, but we're going to try to create the ideal environment where God works that kind of stuff out. And that's when we're together. And so, I don't know. I always think in long-term kind of stuff and I'm expectant for where we'll be at in 5 years and what generosity groups will actually look like at that point.
Awesome. Cool. If you were not involved in a group, I 100% would say that you should go do it right now. You know, get off this. If you're driving, obviously get where you're going, but get done with this. Go to imprintchurch.org/groups. Find a group that works, or find a group that's like the closest one, or one that is the least inconvenient for you to get to, and check it out. The worst thing that can happen is that you have an uncomfortable moment that makes you more like Jesus in the future, hopefully. So anyway, that is all for now. And if you have any questions, email Tom at tmcgregor@imprintchurch.org, or you can email podcast@imprintchurch.org. We'll make sure it gets to the right spot. Have any questions about our groups, about anything, or if you have a suggested topic, we're thinking of doing a question and response sometime in the future. So if you have a question about anything for Tom or Tom Regan or Darren or really anybody, just shoot us an email, podcast@imprintchurch.org, and we will see you later.
Toodaloo.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.